America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Brandon Adams did answer his phone. We were worried, BA, that was your subliminal way. It wouldn't even be subliminal. That was your creative way of telling us you didn't want to come on the show anymore.
No, we've been doing this now for years. I don't know what happened. I was just sort of zoned out for a second there. I looked down and I was like, oh, gosh, it's time for the call. So that is my error.
Oh, dude, it's not a big deal. Brandon Adams, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast, joins us on Tuesdays at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Let's talk about tonight, and then we can work our way back to Saturday and then maybe back the other direction towards this Saturday with Ole Miss. But what do you think tonight's going to look like from a college football playoff ranking perspective?
I think the biggest storyline for me is if there's any kind of hint that we're going to break the what I sort of think of as the most likely template for the playoff, which is 4-4-1-1-1, 4 SEC, 4 Big Ten, 1 ACC, 1 Big 12, Notre Dame, and a group of five. That, to me, is the most likely playoff format. Now, I know Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, but they seem like they're on kind of a sort of a roller skating path to the playoff. Obviously, by rule, a group of five team has to get in. But for the Big 12 and the ACC, you know, do they have that second team that's perhaps good enough to be a bid thief here and take away one of these SEC spots or take away one of these Big Ten spots? You know, tonight doesn't necessarily reveal all of that, but it does sort of start the conversation, which will last the next few weeks, which is, you know, is there any chance that the Big Ten, the SEC, kind of have their sort of playoff allotment eaten into by me,
right,
at any point?
BA, I mean, I said this earlier. Noah said it yesterday. It's hard for me to say I trust our quarterback right now, BA. I just don't know what is going on. And obviously, you have a show. You'd have a lot of dog fans call you and let you know how they feel. What is your kind of analysis of where the fan base is with Carson Beck right now?
Yeah, I thought that Saturday was a pretty pivotal day in that I think that Carson Beck and what has been kind of a lackluster year went from being sort of one of the things going on with Georgia to now I think it is the thing, right, that is happening with UGA. You know, this was a stadium in his hometown where Beck really dominated a year ago. And we believe this is sort of a similar Georgia team to last year, other than obviously the absence of Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. And we also think this is a somewhat similar Florida team to what it was a year ago. There's really no obvious reason that Beck's overall performance should have been so much worse. Now, the final passing yards numbers ends up looking sort of fine, but the game itself, if you watched it, you know, Carson Beck and the interceptions, they were a real problem. So I just think this is now kind of baked into the story of Georgia. And, you know, whatever you thought at the beginning of the year of, oh, this would be a quarterback-led team that would, you know, that would have a chance to be great on the basis of Beck being great, well, now that's not what this is. Now this is more along the lines of, okay, you need your defense to sort of step up and be a little bit more like what it was in previous years when you didn't think you had a great quarterback, because right now Carson Beck's just not playing great. So I think the next couple of weeks against two very good teams, we're going to find out how capable Georgia is of kind of reinventing itself.
That's a great way to put it, because it's wild to say a team that's probably going to be number two tonight in the college football playoff rankings needs to reinvent itself. But because of the way that the quarterback is playing, they may very well need to do that. So what does that look like? Does that mean trying to lean more heavily on the run, which hasn't been great so far this season, and the starting running back got banged up on Saturday? Just like asking Carson to throw downfield less? I don't, like, if you're going to reinvent yourself at this point of the season and not change players, because they're not benching Carson Beck, like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so I think that the untold story that hasn't been talked about enough is what's going on with the running game. Mm-hmm. The fact that, I mean, I know they gave some carries to Frazier on Saturday as he stepped in for ETN. But for the most part, Georgia doesn't even talk like they want to run it anymore. And as you said, this is still a good team. This is still a team that can win the national championship. I don't want to make the situation sound more dire than it is. But it's just really interesting to hear the language around Georgia right now that's really willing to concede the fact they're probably not going to dominate in the run game. So if you're giving up that with some of your game planning of just not exactly mauling people on the ground, and if you have concerns with what happens when you try to throw deep, and the only thing that's really left is a lot of what Georgia did on Saturday, which is some of, in the second half especially, some of the safe, you know, more, I guess, intermediate type routes, shorter type routes where you really, you know, are not a very, you know, long average depth of target, something that's not likely to be picked off, and you're going to try to move the ball down the field that way. And if I had to guess for the next couple of weeks, that's probably what Georgia is going to do. You're still going to need to try to find a way to score 30 points somehow to beat Ole Miss and Tennessee. And both those defenses are actually probably the strengths of both those teams, yep. Despite what the reputation is for Lane Kiffin and Josh Heupel coach teams. It's probably more of a defensive-led team now for both, you know, Ole Miss and Tennessee. You got to score against pretty good defenses, and you may have to do that without the kind of the full complement of offensive firepower that you thought you were going to have.
I know that, you know, we don't know how these computer generated things are equated or whatever, but I just saw that Georgia's favored by 2, but the ESPN predictor has Ole Miss winning the game or whatever. Is it? Do you think what do you think it is, babe, because of how they looked this last 2 weeks as far as the beatdowns that Ole Miss has given out, or how Georgia just recently, especially the quarterback, played last week in Florida?
Yeah, I mean, obviously my issue with things like ESPN, FBI, they never quite show their work on any of this. Quite, you know, let us know how they get to some of these equations necessarily, although they do have Ole Miss ranked pretty high. But it's important to note, you know, yeah, Ole Miss scored 60-whatever against Arkansas this past Saturday. You can't discount that. But prior to that, they hadn't even scored 30 points in a game against an SEC team thus far this year. That a lot of their offensive success has kind of come outside the conference until they played Arkansas this particular week. So this is a formidable opponent. It's obviously a game Georgia could lose, whether FPI favors them too or not. You know, Georgia could lose the game. But at the same time, I do think that the big explosion for Ole Miss against Arkansas is perhaps an outlier. And, you know, this is not an offense that's necessarily fired on all cylinders this year against the best defenses that it faced. In fact, you know, my expectation for Saturday is the Georgia defense probably will have a pretty good day, and it may still be a close, hard-fought game down to the wire, but I sort of think the Georgia defense probably matches up okay here.
I think so, too. I think both defenses are quite good. And certainly Ole Miss has some players, but they've also lost a couple of games this year, as they often do lose big games, and teams that are coached by Lane Kiffin often do. Is Carson Beck so non-trustworthy right now that people are trusting Lane Kiffin? Like, is that what's happened? Like, the trust has shifted so far away from Carson Beck that people can talk themselves into trusting Lane Kiffin to win a big football game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really fair way to frame that, because we've talked about before, you know, this is the kind of win that Kiffin doesn't really have in his career. And I don't see any reason to suggest that's about to happen on Saturday. In fact, would you rather play this version of Ole Miss this year or the one a year ago that had Quinshon Judkins, much more dangerous offensive team, I think, with a guy like Judkins? You know, I believe certainly on the offensive side of the ball, you know, they were probably more dangerous a year ago than maybe they are right now. Now, the one thing they do have are all those, you know, really good defensive linemen, especially in the case of Walter Nolan. That's a real force, you know, to be reckoned with here. But, you know, I just don't see any obvious reason. This is a team that lost to Kentucky. This is a team that, you know, that's, you know, already lost in addition to that to LSU. I mean, I don't see any kind of obvious reason that Kiffin's about to break out and get some sort of huge win that he hasn't been able to get to in his career to this point in time. That doesn't mean that Georgia's a perfect team. We all know that's the case.
Right.
But at the same time, I think we have a tendency sometimes to kind of magnify and overstate, you know, the team we watch the most, you know, closely, their blemishes, and we forget that other teams have their blemishes too. And certainly in the case of Ole Miss, that's definitely true.
I got one more question, real quick, B. The peanut, I forgot the kid's name, the freshman who got the last touchdown, and you saw everybody celebrating and all those different things. Do we know why they were just, I mean, obviously a freshman, all those different things, but was it like, it seemed like it was a on purpose to get him the ball and get him in the end zone?
Yeah, so I had no idea that he was as popular as he is. Now, obviously, there's a lot to like about Phillips. Dwight Phillips is his name. He's an amazing, you know, like very fast, you know, athletic type guy. Has not been a picture, you know, really a part of the picture for Georgia because he's a freshman and he's a little bit non-traditional and not the biggest running back necessarily, but very, very fast. I had no idea he was as popular as he was, but clearly the entire team was, you know, thrilled
they lost
about
it.
This.
They lost their mind
so
when he scored touchdown.
Either, it's great to see. Yeah. So this is either a situation where, hey, you know, Georgia feels like they need to be a little bit more creative offensively, get a speedster involved. It's late in the season. You want to keep everybody happy. Maybe there's some of that going on. Or it just sort of happened to work out this way, and it's all just kind of random. Either way, probably occurring at a good time for UGA to think that if you're going to have to be a little bit more creative about how you score points, well, lo and behold, getting a very speedy freshman involved, maybe that's the right time for all that to occur.
That's the headline of...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The YouTube video that you guys have on your YouTube page of Kirby talking about it is everybody loves peanut.
They love him.
So it sounds like they just love the guy.
Like,
they were
it
just
was
really happy.
Carried
him
off the field.
That's
I
amazing.
Mean, it was crazy.
honestly, it really is. I think it's funny how much everybody has kind of embraced all this because, as I said before, man, certain things just, you know, escape my, you know, I guess field of vision.
Sure.
I had no idea he was as popular with his teammates as he is.
I love it. You love to see it. B.A., thank you.
Appreciate it.
Always good to be with you guys.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. I feel like...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.